reading to you from the 1 Corinthians and the 13th chapter and the 7th verse. Bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I become a man, I did away with childish things. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Be much in prayer tonight, because I'm going to talk about the power of prayer. What an important thing we have. We as Christians got something that the world don't have. We got a God we can talk to. We have a God that loves us and concerned for us. Well, anyway, I'll be with you for half an hour. Hope you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse. 4th chapter of Philippians, the 6th verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Well, we've labeled this the power of prayer. Oh, my friends, we've got something that the world would like to have, but they can't have it until they come to Jesus. The mind free from care is ready to pray. We can now come to God in faith, expecting answers. We are no longer unstable, double-minded people, as it says in James 1:8, being a double-minded man, unstable in all thy ways. But the power of prayer is unlimited. Did you hear me? Unlimited. Listen to what it says in Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter, the 3rd verse. Call to me, and I will answer you. I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. My stars. A lot of things you and I don't know. We don't know when we're going to die. We know someday that there's going to be a rapture. We don't know when, but it's coming. He said, "You don't." Some of these things you don't even know. Well, the prayer of faith brings everything we need within our reach. Oh, my. Faith makes the upward look, the outward look, bright and favorable, and the future glorious. Listen to this. Prayer provides power for difficult days, and I read in the 6th chapter again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. What do you need today? What's your request? Have you talked to him about it? Have you told him what you wanted? Have you asked him? Have you shared with him? You know, if you're born again, you're his child. And he, blessed well, wants to know what's going on in your life. He knows, but he wants you to talk to him. Hey, when is the last time that you told the Lord that you loved him? Think about that, Christian brothers and sisters. When is the last time you told him you loved him and thanked him for answered prayer, for supplying your needs? Oh, he likes to hear that. Prayer is God's remedy for perplexing care. And nothing is too small for God to care about, nor too big for him to handle. I told you this story when my wife was a realtor, and I was very sick. I'd had a heart attack, and I was in my pickup, and I went down to Safeway store to do the shopping, because I had to do something or I'd go crazy. And I went down there, and it was a hot, very hot day, and I come out of the grocery store, and I got into my pickup, and I lost my keys. And I didn't have a phone, a cell phone. I was up the creek. I had to get home. I couldn't stay out there in that hot sun. So I bowed my head right beside my pickup, and I said, "Father, I've lost the keys to my rig. Father, I don't know where to look. I don't know what to do. But I'm asking you, Father, to lead me to where those keys are. Thank you in Jesus' name." I walked back in that Safeway store, and I traced my steps. Guess where I found my keys? On top of a Kellogg cornflakes box. That's where they were. See, nothing is too small. So I've had people say, "Oh, that's such a minor matter. I hate to bother God with that." God wants you to bother him with that. You said, you know, you need food? You talk to him about it. You need to make a payment on your house? You need to talk to him about it if you can't make it. I'm telling you, he is concerned. He cares. You know what Timothy said? Casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. Prayer has rescued heroes of the faith during some tough times. You remember David prayed and the Lord saved him from his troubles in Psalms 34? The poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Friends, I have tested that. I have proved it. It works. It really does. If you cry out to the Lord, he'll hear you and he'll deliver you out of your troubles. He has the power to do it. See, Daniel prayed and survived the den of lions. And I used to tell this story to little kids in Sunday school, and I kind of embellished it with my little in-and-outs. And I said, Daniel was told not to pray to anybody but the king. No supplication. But I said, that Daniel didn't set with him. So what did he do? He knelt in front of his window, opened the curtains, turned his face toward Jerusalem, and began to pray. Well, they caught him. And so, like the king said, anybody who did that was going to be thrown in the lion's den. And sure enough, they tossed old Daniel in that lion's den. And he was down there with those great big old man-eating lions. And he said, "Mr. Lion, come over here." And that old big old lion got up and walked to us. "Now lay down there. I need your mane for a pillow." That night, Daniel had the greatest night's sleep in years. Friends, what does that tell me? It tells me when you're in the divine will of God, no matter what the problem is, the Lord will comfort you and the Lord will give you the answer to it. And he sure did. So Daniel prayed and he survived, what? The den of lions. Look in Daniel 6. Jonah prayed and was delivered from the fish's belly. Now, he was told to go down there. God told him what to do. But that old backslidden preacher, he said, I'm going the other way. Well, he got on that ship, and boy, howdy. Those people on that ship knew something was wrong, and they prayed and found out that Jonah was the rascal. And so they threw Jonah over the side, and that big old fish swallowed him. And for 3 days and three nights, can you imagine that stinking seaweed and dead fish in that old fish's belly? See, even the fish got tired of him. In 3 days, he spit him out on the beach. And boy, let me tell you, Jonah headed for Nineveh as fast as his little legs would go. All of a sudden, instead of being a complainer, he was a follower. And he went over and he delivered a message. Oh, he was mad. He was mad that God spared him, but anyway, that's the way God operates. See, if you're doing the will of God, friends, he'll open the way. Now, if you're a young man or you're being called to preach or you're maybe called to be a deacon, you know what? You say, "I can't do it." Well, sure you can't do it, not without him. But if you take him as your Savior and you confide in him and all these things, now you say, "Well, Cecil, wait a minute. Now, Doggone it, I prayed and my prayers weren't answered. Well, let me ask you this. Have you got a lot of sin in your life that you haven't confessed? Now, if you have, forget it. You've got to come back and confess that sin, and he'll forgive you if you repent of it, and he'll answer your prayer. But sometimes God answers our prayer not on the spot. And sometimes he says he goes a long way before he answers prayer. Oh, friends, I have prayed for years for things before they ever come to pass. I sure have. So you might be praying about something, and you just can't get an answer. Sometimes we pray and we ask amiss. And that's not good. Like supposing you prayed for a new job that gives you more money, but you were going to put that money on yourself, and you were going to go to the coast, and you were going to do this, and you were going to do that. The Lord knows your heart. He knows my heart. Now, if you pray amiss, he's not going to answer your prayer. But if you pray in the divine will of God, he will absolutely answer prayer. You remember when Peter prayed in jail and was freed by an angel? Why, good heavens, he was... he came to the church and he knocked on the door. And they said, "Who is it?" And he said, "Me, Peter." "No, it can't be you. We're praying for you." Now, those people were praying for him but didn't believe God was going to answer. But he did. And old Peter got out of jail. Paul and Silas prayed in prison and were rescued by an earthquake. They, instead of complaining and moaning and groaning like most of us do, he told him, he said, "Now look, let's pray, or let's sing, let's do some things for the Lord." Now, they had just gotten their socks beat off of them. I mean, that jailer had whopped them, boy. They were hurting. They were bleeding. But instead of complaining, they started singing praises on the Lord and testifying. Oh, beloved, never, never, ever be ashamed to give your testimony. That is one of the most important preaching in the world. It really is. You look at Paul's life. Every place he went, whether it was a king in the temple or wherever, or a queen, he said, "One day I was on that road to Damascus and a great light appeared out of heaven, knocked me to my knees, and there's where I met Jesus." Friends, can you remember when you got on your knees and invited Christ into your heart? That was the most powerful prayer you ever prayed in your life. And if you meant it, God saved you. God wrote your name in the Lamb Book of Life, and God called you for a job. I don't know what your mission in life is, but I know you have a mission. Every born-again Christian has a mission in life, and they should seek to know the will of God, because the guy that does that or the gal that does that is a very intelligent, wise person. Do you pray for holy boldness? Now, that's something that you should pray for every day. Pray for holy boldness. Pray that God will give you souls for your hire. That he expects to hear that prayer. But a lot of, he said, "You have not because you ask not." You're not asking for souls. You're not going to get souls. Well, prayer is the key to victory in every area of our lives. And prayer provides a peace in troubled times. Verse 7, "And the peace of God will surpass all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And the peace of God will keep your hearts and your minds. Now, there are three dimensions of biblical peace. And peace with God comes through Romans 5:1. Well, let's see. Romans 5:1. Okay, let's go back here to Romans 5:1. That's the best place to... Acts, Romans, let's get back in here. 5:1, come on. See, I wasn't prepared to get this far away. Okay, 5:1, here we are. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's what it said. Now, and also the peace of God comes through the power of prayer in Philippians 4:6-7. And what did it say? "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto man." And known to God. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Well, peace on earth will come when Christ returns to reign. And I read in Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men when with him he is pleased. Also it tells us in Revelation 19:20, and the beast was seized, and with him the false prophets, which who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image, those two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. You know, friends, the one thing that I'm looking forward to, I'm looking forward to be able to see the old devil kicked into that fiery furnace. I hate that man. He deceived us. He's deceived you. He lied to God. He tried to take God's place. And that ain't going to happen. Prayer brings personal peace now to those who trust in Christ. And peace comes through answered prayer. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Well, peace comes through heartfelt supplication to the Savior. And I read in Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted to you. Listen, friends, you say, I've been praying and praying, Cecil, and nothing's been happening. Well, I got some news for you. I prayed for my younger brother for 23 years before he accepted Christ. I prayed for my older brother for 26 years. Oh, friends, I used to get so discouraged. I'd write them. I'd send them gospel tapes. I'd send them everything, but they would not. But in God's timetable, he answered all them. So if you're praying for someone to be saved, don't give up. Just keep praying. Be faithful in prayer. Well, let me tell you something else. Peace comes through prayer in the powerful name of Jesus in John 16:24. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. My mom, before she died as a little boy, and Ma used to sit on this one side and my sis would sit on the other side, and my mom would get the old family Bible and she'd read to us. And she used to tell me, pray believing, and ye shall receive. Well, the night I found her on the floor unconscious, I remember when they hauled her away in the ambulance, I went out of my, got down on my knees under those old locust trees, and I prayed for her that she would die. Oh, my friend, but she did die. And it put a question mark in my mind. Ask and you shall receive. But I didn't receive. It didn't happen. But God had a different plan. Oh, I tell you, God is not deceived. Friend, listen. I don't care what your problem is tonight. Praying in faith brings peace that passes understanding. I read in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehensions, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Christians are at war with a powerful enemy. In Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Oh, we have an enemy out there. Paul reminds us that we are equipped to stand against him. That's what he said. Put on the full armor. Spiritual armor is available for life's constant conflict. That's why you fold up when something happens, and you fold up because you don't have the armor on. Prayer provides power for overcoming spiritual foes. And here it says in Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petitions, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Boy, howdy. You think we don't have something? You know, during World War II, I remember Easter Sunday morning, the morning, we and the Marines and soldiers and thousands of soldiers and sailors and Marines and ships. It was the Japanese were throwing everything at us. This was almost our last stand. And I remember, boy, howdy. I remember the old Missouri, she laid out there and threw those big old shells over our head all night long. It was a scary thing. I was so afraid to die. And I wasn't a Christian. But I had enough sense to kneel down and pray and ask God to protect us, and he did. Victor in this battle, pray without ceasing. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. Friends, listen to me. Now you're going to bed tonight, and you go to sleep. Sometime in the middle of the night, God wakes you up, or at least you wake up, and you don't know why. But God wants you to remember somebody in prayer. Oh, friends, maybe you're supposed to thank him for something you did for you that day, and you didn't do it before you went to bed. Always be in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Oh, listen, rest daily in the powerful protection that prayer provides. Now, listen to me. The mighty power of prayer is beyond our understanding. We do not understand how can millions of people right now are praying, and he hears every blessed one of them. He knows exactly what you ask him. He doesn't forget anything. We can expect daily victory through power of prayer. Now listen, what's your prayer need tonight? I don't know what it is. But let me ask you this question. Are you ready to die? See, the minute you are born, you start to die. The very moment that you come from your mother's womb, you're being prepared to die. But Jesus came to prepare us to live forever. Time without end. Yeah, I give it to you. Life eternal. Oh, beloved, what a promise. What a promise. You say, well, Cecil, I've got a tugging at my heart, and I don't understand it. Well, maybe God's Holy Spirit's just a tugging at you, but he wants your heart. Now, here's what you need to do. If you are sorry for your sins, and you're willing to turn your back on the old way of life, you're willing to receive this wonderful Savior, I want you to bow your head to me right now. I don't want you to pray this unless you mean it. Here's how the prayer goes. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess tonight that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the things I've done to you. I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, would you call me at 303-471-8534? I'm one of these radio preachers that is concerned about you. I'm not one bit concerned about your money because I'm not going to ask you for any. I don't even want you to send me no money. That's not the deal. I want you to go to heaven. If you cannot afford this call, you call me collect. I'll pay for it. And if you want a book or a movie, let me know, will you? Okay, I'm waiting by my phone, 303-471-8534.
Now I know he touched me.
Dear friends, thank you for listening. Your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Oh, dear friends, I just love to tell people, if you're in trouble tonight, if you're an alcoholic, if you're a prostitute, if you're a homosexual, God loves you. Oh, he sure does. He wants to save you more than you'll ever understand, because he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And he wants you to come to him tonight. If you did come to him tonight, would you call me at 303-471-8534? I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to pray with you. Well, friends, would you pray for my wife and I as we go to prison? We have 3 services next Sunday. Pray that we'll be a blessing, that we'll reach many, many people for Christ. And pray for that Muslim, that we can reach him. Big old 300-pound teddy bear, but he needs Jesus. Why has he come to the service? Because he's seeking. He needs a Savior. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Come on, stay sweet. Keep looking up. Oh, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.